Laudetur Jesus Christus.
Welcome to Vatican Radio's English service for South Asia.
Hello and welcome to Inspiring Lives, a series on the lives of saints in the Catholic Church from around the world.
I'm only human. I'm just a man. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time.
Last Sunday, Pope Francis closed the year of faith with a Mass in St. Peter's Basilica. Earlier, Pope Benedict XVI had opened the year of faith celebration in October 2012. And since then, we aired our year of faith special weekly feature called The Faithful Witness, based on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world. Now we are back to our earlier series on the lives of Catholic saints, titled Inspiring Lives. Saints are holy people who lived ordinary lives in extraordinary ways. Each saint the Church honors responded to God's invitation to use his or her unique gifts. These saints are examples of great holiness and virtue, and they invite us to follow their paths to holiness. Their unique stories inspire us to be rooted in our faith. God calls each one of us to be a saint. In the last couple of years, we have witnessed several canonizations. These new saints of the Church came from various walks of life: laywomen, catechists, religious, priests, and nuns. What made them saints? What are the processes the Church follows in canonizing people? I asked these and similar questions to Jesuit Father Peter Gumbel, the first relator or the investigating judge for the causes of the saints appointed by Pope John Paul II in 1983. Incidentally, the office of the relator was created by the same Pope in 1983, and Father Gumbel has been the major official of the first class in the Vatican hierarchy. Father Gumbel, welcome to Vatican Radio. Why do the Catholic Church canonize people today?
Because the Church has a very demanding teaching laid down by Christ. And then a number of people say, well, it is all very spiritual, it is all very beautiful, but normal people cannot live up to that. It is impossible. It is a utopian. Now, if the Church can present a number of people, people succeeded in doing it. So how can you say it is not possible? That is the real reason, a strictly pastoral reason. And the importance from a pastoral point of view is that if somebody wants to know what the Roman Catholic Church is teaching, there are many ways to come to know about Holy Scripture, the Apostolic Tradition, Fathers of the Church, Doctors of the Church, Ecumenical Councils, Magisterium. That is all very well. But far more important for many people is to have in front of them people who have lived in their concrete life, in the midst of the normal difficulties, in a consequential way and seriously, according to the ideal of the Roman Catholic faith. The Church wants to propose example to the most diverse categories of people. There are children, there are adolescents, there are mature people, there are men, there are women, different states of life, priests, bishops, deacons, lay people, religious. You have to present people from their own walk of life and to say, well, look, these people had the same kind of profession that you have, the same state of life, and they manage it. So do not say it is not possible. It is possible with the help of God's grace and, of course, also with the response that you have to give. Now, these are the essence.
How does the Catholic Church go about this canonization?
How does the Church go about it? It is not that at a certain moment the Pope is sitting down and said, now I want to proclaim this or that person as a blessed or a saint. Conditio sine qua non for any cause is simply and purely the fact that there is a very vast fame of sanctity. I think everybody in his life may have come across, I certainly did, you intuitively sense here you are facing somebody who is not only speaking about the faith, but he is living according to his faith. Now, if there is a widespread opinion among the people of God that this particular person who lived his Christian Catholic faith in a convincing, consequential, regular way, this is the conditio sine qua non. There must be hundreds or thousands of people who come to that opinion. And if that happens, sooner or later, somebody has to forward. It can be a bishop, it can be a lay person, it can be an association, and come forward with the request to the local bishop. And the competent bishop is the person in whose diocese the man died. And come out with the request that she should start the beginning of a course of beatification. Can the bishop act immediately? No. He has to make a number of previous inquiries before he does it. He has to appoint people who collect all the writings that a man has published, if any. These writings have to be examined to see what emerges from them. Is everything okay with regard to faith and morals? And how does he emerge from his writings? Secondly, the bishop has to appoint a commission of people trained in research in archives and libraries. And their task is to collect all the documents that they can find about this man. In some cases, that is simple, is the case of a simple peasant. There are not many documents written about him. But if it's a case of a man who was prominent as a pope or a bishop or a politician, hundreds of documents to be examined. And here again, they have to come to a judgment to present what kind of archives they have visited, what kind of libraries they have visited, what did they find or did not find, and how does the person figure in them. That's the second investigation he has to make. Thirdly, he has to make an inquiry, at least with the bishop's office, ecclesiastical province, to see for two reasons. Do they feel that this course is opportune? Secondly, have in your diocese people who have known the servant of God, who are important to be heard as witnesses? Are people against the course, etc., etc.? This is the third inquiry with the bishops surrounding the thing.
Do you involve ordinary people in this process of canonization? If so, how?
The fourth inquiry is with the people of his own diocese. He has to make an announcement, for example, in all sermons of a Sunday. I have been requested to start the course of beatification of this person. Any persons here who have a profound personal knowledge of the man, they are requested to inform the diocese about it, so that in due time they can be heard as a witness. And this applies to people in favor and people who have something against the candidate.
Where does Vatican come in the initial stages of canonization?
The fifth inquiry has to be made here in Rome, because it has happened that a bishop starts a course, spends a lot of time, energy, money, then the thing comes to Rome and they said, oh, dear bishop, we can't continue with it because there are very severe accusations about the man. And don't start the course. So as to prevent this, the bishop is supposed to write to Rome, is there anything in the Roman archives, the Holy Office, anything against the course, inform me so that I can take care to deal with the matter, to come to a responsible decision to start it and to find out whether these problems can be solved. These are the preliminary inquiries. If all this is positive, and the bishop decides to start the inquiry officially, to introduce the course, as the technical term is.
And what happens next?
Then he has to do two things. One, he has to call a number of witnesses. Canon law does not prescribe the number. medium in an average course would be between 30 and 50 witnesses who under oath have to reply to a number of questions that the tribunal will put to them. The tribunal is presided by a president, one expert in canon law, so as to be sure that all the legal observations are observed, and a notary, therefore three people. In causes of people who are very much in the public limelight, you may need 100 or more. For example, in the course of John Paul II, there were about 200 or 300 witnesses. In the course of Pius XII, we called in about 100, 98 to be precise, but witnesses who had known him over the years, and from all walks of life.
That was the first part of an interview with the Jesuit Father Gumbel, an investigating judge for the causes of saints in the Catholic Church. You can listen to the second part of this interview next week.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
You have been listening to Inspiring Lives, a weekly series based on the lives of Catholic saints from around the world. Today, we just heard the initial stages in the process of canonization.